not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Hello, and welcome to episode 199 of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. We're here today with Ambassador Andris Teikmanis, the Latvian ambassador to the United States since 2016. Ambassador Teikmanis is a former ambassador to Russia, Germany, the United Kingdom, Australia, and New Zealand. Ambassador Teikmanis was also a former Secretary of State in the Latvian Foreign Ministry and a former Latvian representative to the Council of Europe. Ambassador Teikmanis is the former mayor of Riga from 1990 to 1994 and a former chairman of the Riga City Council. He's a former member of the Supreme Council of Latvia from 1990 to 1993, the Supreme Council being the Parliament of Latvia. Ambassador Teikmanis is a former judge, police investigator, and significantly was a signatory to Latvian independence on May 4th, 1990. Ambassador Teikmanis, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm enjoying being in D.C.
Excellent. Well, we're glad to have you here. The first question I'd like to pose to you is, what are you currently doing or what have you ever done to advance the public interest and why?
Well, I think I'm doing what ambassadors really do, whenever they are and wherever they are, trying to promote the bilateral relations between his own country and country of presidents. I arrived last fall to U.S., and of course one of the first tasks was to work hard to maintain most excellent relationship between Latvia and U.S. Well, it took some time to get more clarity about U.S. positions because I arrived just in the final stage of election campaign where many people in Latvia put some questions, how will be next administration, mm-hmm. and how will be the relationship between U.S. and Latvia. Well, I should say, currently, at this moment, I've got a lot of answers to these questions, and I see that the spirit of relationship that was set up 70 and more years ago, mm-hmm. when U.S. decided upon non-recognition policy towards occupation of Baltic states, this spirit of relationship was strengthened by U.S. Baltic Charter in 1998, and it is the most reliable, most stable relationship we have with U.S. U.S. is really our strongest ally. We are sharing common values, common interests, and I can say that new administration, I've got a number of confirmations, is promoting and continuing the same spirit of relationship as we used to have all the last 25 years since we regained our independence. Mm-hmm. It is really a bipartisan approach that gives me a very strong sense of stability between Latvia and U.S. And I see that this administration, like many previous, are continuing the same relationship.
Now, as you mentioned, you came here during a change of administration, so you were received by President Obama, and now the United States is in the Donald Trump administration, which have very different foreign policy objectives, a different sense of where America is in the world and what America's role is. Now, while you were, I'd like to take a moment and speak about Russia. You had previously been an ambassador to Russia, and you were once quoted as saying that Latvia and Russia did not have the best of relations. And of course, in the United States, the mainstream media's general narrative is that Russia in some way influenced our election this past fall. And so I guess the question I'd like to ask, and then of course, Latvia is a member of NATO, and it's quite complicated, the Russian-American-Latvian relationship in the Baltic area. So could you speak about any differences that that different regional dynamics, how the regional balance might be changing over time between the Obama administration and the Trump administration?
Well, I think the world is really changing and changing permanently. I wouldn't say that this administration has a completely different foreign policy goals. I'm looking back to previous administrations, whether it be Democrat or Republican, the policies that hasn't changed for American administrations is relationship to Europe, relationship to Baltic states. And here we have got a number of commitments after already inauguration of president. We have got a number of commitments from Congress, bipartisan commitments, that this policy is not going to change.
How would you characterize that policy towards...
It is really a strong commitment of American presence in Europe. Well, this was a strategic decision made by Americans just after World War II. That decision brought a real stability for Europe, and it made the strongest possible alliance between U.S. and European states. Mm-hmm. It is NATO alliance. Well, I've got, even last fall, a lot of questions whether U.S. commitments to NATO will be the same. And I've got answers from this administration that America hasn't changed its commitments to NATO. Well, America is very strongly pushing on responsibilities of each of member states. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a point we should be aware and we should take seriously. Well, we Baltic states are taking this point seriously, and we are increasing our defense budget because, well, we see that world is changing, and whether we like it or not, but we should be prepared for changing world, and we should be prepared for situations that there are countries that, well, are ready to use military options in solving some issues. So we are approaching to 2% of spending, 2% of GDP. This year we have 1.7. Next year we will definitely have 2%. There is no opposition to this decision in Latvia. Well, Lithuanians are having the same goal. Estonians have already 2%. And of course, we are encouraging our partners in NATO that each NATO state should fulfill commitments decided by Wales NATO summit in Cardiff. Well, these commitments were taken already before, but this is a NATO unified decision, and we should stick to it.
When you mention that defense spending will increase to 2% of GDP, it sounds as though you believe that's significant. But to an American audience, where we have an American federal budget exceeding 20%, going closer to 25% of the federal budget being allocated to defense, it sounds like 2% isn't such a large number. Is that significant for Latvia?
Well, it is significant. I think 2% is a goal that was set by NATO states, including U.S. Well, nobody is prevented to spend more. Mm-hmm. And of course, spending more is depending also on policies and on interests. Well, we are not a nuclear country.
Does it indicate?
We have no nuclear program, so we are spending on conventional defense. And it is quite significant for us. And we should spend our money smart. We should spend our money wise to get the best possible goal with money spent.
Does this increase in defense spending by NATO membership nations indicate an escalation of tensions with Russia, as we've seen with Russia and the United States?
I don't think it indicates escalation now. Well, we see that Russia is increasing very substantially its defense budget. Mm-hmm. Over last years, and Russia has taken very serious actions in Georgia, in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Russia has occupied Crimea, Russia has supported and Russia's regular forces are on the soil of eastern Ukraine. So I think we should not neglect.
Are Latvians nervous, and do they suspect that there may be some additional territorial acquisitions by Russia?
Well, I don't think we should be. We should fall into panic. We are vigilant. Well, we are a neighboring country, and our history of our bilateral relations with Russia is not among the very best in our history. But, well, at the same time, as the neighbors, we are crucially interested to maintain good and neighborly relationship with Russia. But I don't see immediate reason for panicking that, well, Russia will march in, because Russia respects border of NATO. And, well, this is an action Russia can't win, and I think Russia knows it. So we should be vigilant, but it doesn't mean we should be, well, feel threatened. But we should, at the same time, look very carefully on our defense and look seriously on the needs of our defense. Well, it means that any country in the world should take its defense issues very seriously.
Now, a few years ago, a missile defense shield system was implemented in Poland with the support of the United States. Is that something that, I know it was opposed by Russia, is it something that Latvia supports?
Well, missile defense is a little bit different issue. It does not directly concern Latvia. Well, missile defense probably is not the issue that can somehow safeguard us from conventional threats or risks. Now, I think this is a point we are aware of, but we are strengthening our conventional forces to be ready for any kind of surprises. Or, to say better, to be ready for the policy of deterrence, because...
I'm sorry, of the what?
Deterrence.
Deterrent?
Deterrence.
Terrorists.
Deterrence.
Deterrence. Yeah.
And we are ready for policy of deterrence, and that's an answer. Well, not to encourage to make any kind of, well, actions that may lead to large-scale conflict. It has worked, and it's still working. And I think, well, that's not maybe the answer for many people who would prefer, as we would prefer as well, any kind of solution with diplomatic means, through negotiations, through increased mutual trade and interdependence. Well, it's right. But if one of partners is not observing these rules, then we should be prepared for other.
So let's transition away from a discussion on NATO and military to a European Union topic. Of course, the European Union has been in the news in the United States with different elections, with the Brexit last summer, with elections in France. There's a rise of populism, which was seen in the United States and has gone across Europe. And of course, one of the major arguments in favor of leaving the EU, the Brexit people, the Marine Le Pen in France people, is immigration is a big problem, both in the United States, viewed by some individuals, and is viewed as a very hot topic in Europe. Can you speak about what European Union membership for Latvia means within the context of immigration?
Well, I think European Union first means for Latvia much, much more than immigration.
Mm-hmm.
It is a return to the Europe we belong to between, before 1940, before the Second World War, and before Soviet occupation. And our task when we started our movement for independence was to bring back Europe to Latvia and to bring Latvia back to Europe. That's what we have accomplished, and we have become members of the European Union. And this is a political, historical, and economic ties, and cultural ties across all the countries of Europe. And, well, this is something that every Latvian feels belonging to. Our trade is growing by 40%, 70% with European Union countries. Mm-hmm. Well, we are so strongly linked to rest of Europe that it really means much, much more than immigration. Well, immigration means also Schengen area. There is a new generation grown up in Europe that doesn't know what does it mean borders, mm-hmm. who can cross borders from, well, Tallinn to Lisbon, not seeing a single border guard. Mm-hmm. And this generation would not give up this freedom of movement across Europe. Well, it brings also, but that's a matter of the last years, that brings also new risks of immigration, uncontrolled immigration. And I think European Union has engaged very strongly to bring immigration issue under control. Well, I can recognize it was done slightly with delay, but European Union has entered in negotiations in agreement with the countries of North Africa, with Turkey, with other countries. So, and this is a policy devoted to protect external borders of Schengen area, and that what really matters, because internally the movement is free. Mm-hmm. Well, even if some countries have decided to strengthen their border regime, border control between European Union countries, but what I would see, it's really these are temporary measures that is just related to current situation to bring increase these measures to bring immigration issue under control.
So is well,
Latvia? Of course, immigration on such scale, uh-huh. coming from North Africa, coming from Syria, coming from Iraq, coming from Afghanistan. Well, this is a scale that European Union and its member countries, we're not ready to digest. We're not ready to integrate in such a scale. That's why this issue is such a hot topic. Well, but Union countries are working together to bring all this external border control, to bring it in the right shape, immigration under control, and to cooperate. Well, there is a common policy of dispersing of immigrants who have arrived to European Union. Well, we are part of this agreement, and we are accepting also immigrants coming from Middle East. But of course, we should also encourage and create conditions in the countries not to have this immigration from regions of Middle East or North Africa.
So you mentioned earlier a time when, prior to Soviet occupation, there was a Europe that somewhat resembles the European Union today.
It doesn't resemble the European Union today. Yeah. Well, it's a European area with common history.
Yeah,
the history was not good. There were many wars during the history. But this was an area, European area, where really people knew each other, they know each other, they feel bounded to each other, and they feel, well, like a part of common European house.
So, speaking about Latvian identity, you were a signatory to Latvian independence documents and movement in 1990. I'd like to transition to a discussion more about who you are as an individual, Ambassador Tekmanis. Could you elaborate for our listeners how it is that you came to become a signatory, which clearly led a pathway to electoral politics for you, from municipal politics to national politics to being in an executive cabinet? So how is it that you originally rose from being a police investigator to a judge to a signatory for Latvian independence?
Well, that was a time that changed the fates of many, many Latvians, and I was among, like many others, who put the question, if not me, then who, and if not now, then when. So I'm a lawyer by education, and I would be happy to continue to work as a lawyer. But the time brought such changes that many people had to be engaged in politics, in administration, in executive branches. So I became member of Popular Front of Latvia in 1988. So it was an independence movement, and that brought to more or less free elections in 1990. And so I became member of parliament, and I was signatory of independence declaration. Well, still in 1990, we were formally part of Soviet Union, but just after the declaration, people just started to live like free nation, like free people. And we took the fate of our nation, of our country, in our own hands. So we had to be engaged in different professions. So that's my fate. I changed my initial profession. I became politician for a few years. And after a few years of being in politics, I got the proposal or invitation to become a member of the Latvian Diplomatic Corps. Well, because the Latvian Diplomatic Corps was also absolutely new. We created our foreign ministry from scratch. There was practically no foreign ministry during Soviet time. Well, formerly there was a foreign ministry, but first Latvians were not particularly welcomed in Soviet diplomatic service, and we didn't took a single one from those few who were engaged in Soviet diplomatic service. So I remember when in the early 90s, when foreign ambassadors came in 1991, being accredited to Riga, they were quite surprised seeing our foreign ministry, and they couldn't understand whether it's a foreign ministry or high school, because all people were absolutely young.
The foreign ministry of high school.
There were just people who just finished their studies in university.
And you're becoming ambassadors and diplomats.
Yes, but we had to create from scratch. Uh-huh. The ministry, of course, this was a time of training, of education, of getting new experience. Now the time is quite different. But, that was a time when ambassadors, Latvian ambassadors had to be appointed as well. And of course, not all the ambassadors could be appointed from just students.
Do you miss electoral politics? It's so different when you're seeking votes versus being appointed and living in another country as opposed to being in Latvia. You're still representing your nation, but you're representing another elected official as part of his administration as opposed to being a direct representative of the citizens of Riga.
Well, of course, the temptation of politics, it remains in life forever. But, I have found that in diplomatic service you can have so many challenges. Mm-hmm. So many excitement. Well, the situations are changing permanently, and I have experienced situations in every country I served. It was a very particular time. I was appointed as the first ambassador to Council of Europe. Mm-hmm. When Latvia became Council of Europe early 1995, mm-hmm. and then I became ambassador to Germany, and German government changed from Kohl to Schröder and moved from Bonn to Berlin in 1999. And then I worked a few years in my ministry and headed all the bilateral relations of Latvia with the rest of the world. So then I went to Moscow, and I came to Moscow and was accredited by Mr. Putin. And I left Moscow under Mr. Medvedev, and that was a time when Latvia signed a border treaty with Russia, a very topical issue for our relationship, for the very ground of our base of our relationship. Then I moved or was recalled back to Riga as state secretary to head the foreign ministry. In our system, state secretary is a high civil servant, mm-hmm. not politician and not minister, more or less deputy minister who is heading the ministry, and that was just a time when economic crisis outbroke in late 2008. So one of the first decisions was to cut salary, including my own, by 30%. So it was a very tough time. When I left Riga 5 years later, one of the last documents I approved was the extension of the network of embassies. Mm-hmm. So that was a time when we were back on track, when we didn't cut more our diplomatic service, we developed and increased our diplomatic service across the globe. So, I landed in London, and of course I experienced all the changes of parliamentary elections, of Scottish referendum, of Brexit referendum. Well, and I came to Washington just in the last month of election campaigns. You see, well, you should not necessarily be in the politics if you want to get excitement. Well, diplomats are getting it quite in a good manner.
Well, that's quite a story, Ambassador. And though I would love to sit here and talk to you for hours more, we are coming to the end of this podcast. And I'd like to ask you a final question about your motivations for public service and your legacy. You have worked as an attorney, sat on the bench as a judge. You've had various positions, which for most individuals would be an epoch of their career, which would be a terminal place, a foreign minister, being a member of parliament, being the mayor of the capital city. These are lifetime accomplishments that someone would reach late in life for many individuals around the world. But for you, these are all part of a single resume. You've been incredibly successful, and yet, and also you've been in public service for 30 years. So what is it that drives you? Why are you so interested in advancing public interest, even when at times it means that you have to have a 30% pay cut? And at the end of, you alluded to it earlier about your legacy, having expanded the diplomatic corps for Latvia, having built it up from scratch and participated in that. But what do you hope? You've created a signatory of the Declaration of Independence. You've created your nation, a national identity. What is your legacy for all those years of public service?
Well, I think this is a really great time we are living, and we just should adapt to the changes and be adapted. When we started our independence and we changed the power, and when we swept away Soviet power, probably we knew absolutely clearly what we don't want. I wouldn't say, to be honest, I wouldn't say we knew what we want and what shape of the state we want, because it was a time of permanent learning by doing. We tested, we learned, we just tested again, and we changed the mindset. And that was the most important, that the mindset of people was changed, because new circumstances, new adaptations, new challenges came permanently, and well, we had to cope with it. And that brings such an excitement in your life. And well, I see even now, life is not boring. No, not at all. Mm-hmm. Well, time is changing, and I think that now the global challenges that are really, I see how many countries, many politicians are facing these global challenges. On one hand, it's some kind of impact of the Cold War or the end of Cold War, and maybe even some illusions that everything could be achieved by cooperation, free trade, open common economic political space across the globe, that all people are like-minded. They are not. So we have to be realists. We have to understand how to respond to these new challenges. And probably people have not changed so much as maybe we would wish to. And that's some kind of reaction on globalization, on global mobility of people, of open borders, open economies, open trade. Well, I'm putting this question to me. Maybe people are not ready yet for such speed. And people are asking questions in America, people are asking questions in United Kingdom or France or Germany or Latvia, and the politicians should give answers. Well, each politician is different, and answers are different, but I think what is exciting for people is really to not only to trust, that doesn't change, they have to trust in politicians, and they're looking for politicians that they can trust. Well, diplomats have a privilege maybe to observe all these processes from some certain distance. That's a great privilege.
So that has been Ambassador Andris Tekmanets, the Latvian ambassador to the United States and former ambassador to Russia, Germany, United Kingdom, Australia, and New Zealand, the former Secretary of State of the Latvian Foreign Ministry, and the former Mayor of Riga, City Council member, Member of Parliament for Latvia, signatory to their Declaration of Independence, judge, and a police investigator, who speaks about the tremendous political and cultural changes that transpired during the fall of the Soviet Union and the emergence of a new Latvian identity. Latvia's participation in NATO and the European Union is very much integral to its sense of national interest and its sense of national identity. And in the face of global changes, globalization, populism, he finds that his career in diplomatic corps has been just as exciting as any career in elected office that he previous offices that he occupied. And ultimately, being adaptive and having a changing mindset, recognizing that not all people are like-minded, but still you must work together to advance national interests with the idea that priorities, national priorities, are ever-changing and must be mindful of the change and the speed of change and the ability for people to adapt to that change. And that is how he's advanced the public interest. So, Ambassador Tekmanets, I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for coming.
This has been another episode of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. I'll remind you to subscribe on publicinterestpodcast.com and on iTunes. Leave a review of this podcast on iTunes and listen on Stitcher, SoundCloud, CastBox, Blueberry, Player FM, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Should you wish to comment on this episode, you're welcome to leave a voicemail at 240-630-0380. And the first 3 minutes of that voicemail may be played in future episodes of Public Interest Podcast. Should you wish to support the podcast, you're welcome to leave a contribution in an amount that you feel comfortable with at publicinterestpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.